trouble, whether we're not in trouble, if we're on a mountaintop or if we're in the valley, God's there with us. And what a blessing that is to know that we have a Savior that walks with us and talks with us. I'm just going to want to say amen. And we appreciate the opportunity to be back with you today. I was going to try to sing a song, but I can't get the words together in my mind, and I don't have them, so y'all just have to suffer today. No, you're probably saying, I hope you don't find it. We took a sheer sea dolphin, right? Was that what that for? The offering for today? Okay. Just want to make sure you don't miss nothing. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. And this probably seems like a message that would be for Christians, or for lost people, that is, but we can also apply it as a Christian. So if I was going to name this message, it would be The Physician and His Patients. And we all know that when you need a doctor, most people will go see them. There are some that just don't want to, and I don't blame them. I don't want to either, but a lot of times I have to, and I'm sure that you do also. And you go ahead and go to the doctor, do you not? Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Bow your heads, please, and close your eyes and pray with me. I know that I need your prayers, and I feel that each one of us needs your prayers. I know Brother Donnie needs your prayers, and every church that I know of needs our prayers. We can see a great falling away, as the Bible talks about a great falling away in the last days, and we see that in just about every church that we go into. And if they're not, and they're growing, I'm not saying slowly, as the Lord permits and lets it grow. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about just outburst of growth and people coming in and expecting to have their way about everything and not let the pastor have any authority whatsoever. That's not what I'm talking about. I see churches growing, but I also see that some of them are not preaching the gospel. So we know that we're living in the last day. And the Bible says that we'll have a great falling away. But I'm talking to you as a Christian today on the subject, the physician and his patient. Now we are God's patients, are we not? He's able to do all things. He's able to touch our body. He's able to touch our soul. He's able to touch our heart. And every one of you, and me also, I'm sure, is having all kinds of problems in the day and time that we're living in. And if we'd open our eyes, if we're not, we'll know that there is trouble all around us. If we don't have it right now, we'll have it sooner or later. Because it is coming down to the end. And I believe that as much as I'm standing here now. And I know that some people will ask you, say, well, you know, I've heard all of my life that he's coming again. And that's been years. True. But it's not our place to say when he is coming. But we do know that it's not going to be very long, according to the way things are going on now. So let's pray for the situation. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor, Lord, that we have to be behind this pulpit this morning. Not because we are, but because, Lord, we are. Lord, we thank you for Brother Johnny and what he means to us. And Lord, I know he's sick, not able to be here. Lord, I pray for him that he'll soon be back. Lord, you're able. You know that we know that you're his doctor and he's your patient. And I realize, Lord, also that you use doctors by profession sometimes to give things like medicine to the patients. But Lord, they're not able to heal. You're the healer. You're the great healer, Lord. And we're trusting you to do so with Brother Donnie and anybody else, Lord, that's sick. We ask, Lord, that you bless those that have lost loved ones in the last week or so, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. Lord, our dear sister here, not only her, Lord, there's so many people that are going out of this world. And Lord, if they're Christians, praise the Lord. They're going to a better place, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being here. I ask, Lord, that you just anoint this service today. Anoint me as I try to bring a few words to these dear people that have been so faithful through the years. And thank you for that, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just bless each one of them with better health. And we ask, Lord, that you'll touch them and have your will in their body. Heal, if it be thy will. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you just grant us service wherever we might be with some soul, wherever your name is being uplifted. Wherever that blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ is lifted up today, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless in a special way. Give us the words, Lord, that we must need to say this morning. Help us all, Lord. And tonight we'll be careful. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll start out by saying this, that if you notice about me, probably every time that I come, I'm a little bit slower in kind of saying what I want to say. Well, that's one word or two words, old age. I used to be able to get up here and just preach straight on, and you're not even hesitate about what I want to say. I've been dead in my years, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on Jesus. He's the one that done it. He's the one that looks after me. He's the one that cares for me. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. And I want to read one verse of scripture here. And when I get through, I'll be through. And if I go after 12 o'clock, then I'll go after 12 o'clock. But it'll be because God wanted me to. I know y'all understand that, but I just want to share it with you. It always helps to be reminded of some things every once in a while, isn't it? It's always good for that. So Matthew 9:12, and I may have preached this before down here, but if I did, that's all right. It must be needed again. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, but when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I believe that he was talking about sin sickness along with physical sickness. Now, a lot of times, physical sickness is caused by sin sickness. Not always the case, but it happens sometimes. But this verse is answering to the murmuring Pharisees because Jesus was mingling with the publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees, they were jealous. And verse 11 said, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? Now you have probably not heard it that way and in that those words, but haven't you ever heard people make fun or quarrel about something that somebody else has said? They'll even ask questions about what Jesus says. And I know and realize that if we don't understand, we ought to ask. But I believe this could be pretty much understandable. I'm glad that our Lord did mingle with the publicans and sinners because that was the category that I was in. And if he had not been mingling with them, then I would not be where I'm at today, probably. But see, Jesus was perfectly in order. He was acting according to his official office. He was at his great, he was the great physician. And a physician should be found where there is work for him to do. And this is exactly where healing is required. Is it not? You see, there was evidently none among the Pharisees who actually had a need or who felt that they had a need. And they, as far as they determined, were perfectly whole. That was the Pharisees. But the publicans and the sinners were in a different situation, according to Jesus, evidently. As Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, before you got saved, and let's forget about right now. Before you got saved, did you not need Jesus as a great physician? You needed him to save you, didn't you? And heal your heart and heal your body. And heal your, that body sickness comes from the holy sickness sometimes. We get to thinking about we're good, and we might be to a certain degree. We have good intentions sometimes, I realize that. But sometimes we're not as good as people think we are sometimes, or maybe even we think that we are. And I know that you're sitting there thinking, you're probably thinking of, I wish you'd talk about somebody else instead of me. Well, there ain't nobody else here for me to talk to. So, you might get it all today. But I hope that as you get the whole load, that it will help you in some way not to be a Christian because you already are if you get saved, but to be a better Christian. And that's what the world needs. More Christians, yes, but they need the ones that they got now to be better Christians also. How many people know that we're Christians? I'm not saying that you have to act like it for them to know it. You just simply come acting like it if you're saved and living with Jesus and walking with him every day. They can already tell. And that's what I want my life to be. When I walk down the street, I want them to know that I'm a Christian. Not necessarily that I'm a preacher. No, that I'm a Christian. Wouldn't you like for everybody to know you was a Christian and you would like to be a better Christian? I feel like that every one of you do. But listen, my friend, the whole Jesus said, need not a physician, but they that are sick. There's people today that are sick that don't realize that they're sick. Before you can be saved, and you've heard this, I know, but before you can get saved, you have to be lost and realize you're lost on the way to a devil's hell. Then Jesus Christ will save you if you'll ask him to. All right, now, Jesus knew that there was so much to do among the publicans and sinners, for they were sore sick. Therefore, our Lord was in his place, and he was fitly executing his office when he sought out those who needed him. Let me look at us look at something today. Let me point out three important things about the physician and the patient. Realize that every one of us need a physician. Does any of y'all don't need a physician? Now, I'm not talking physically. I probably could feel better if they give me some more pills, but it makes me feel worse than what I got, some of them. I don't need any more pills, I don't think. 9 in the morning and 7 at night, that's plenty, is it not? And a shot twice a day. That's plenty of anybody. And I think sometimes I got too many. One works against the other a whole lot of times. If they just take a few of them away from me, I might feel better. But I'm scared to take them away from myself, because I may be wrong. But I feel like that I would be feeling better. I get up in the morning and can't hardly walk straight. If anybody seen me, they thought I was drunk. And I was, but I hadn't been drinking anything that I need to make me drunk. It just that way. You understand what I'm talking about, I know. But three things today that's important. Number one is this, the definition of the problem. And he said again, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, sin is more than a disease. Yet our Lord here treats it as a disease that he might present himself to us as the great physician who can heal our sickness and cure our diseases. And everything that may be said of sickness and disease may be said of sin. Think about that. Sin is a hereditary disease. Did you know that? We are born in this disease of sin. It is in our blood, and the very center of our being feels the infection. And the Bible says, born in sin and shaven in iniquity, and seeing that our mothers conceive us. We are born sinners. Are we not? Born into this world a sinner. And every one of us need to be saved. There's not a person I know of that don't. Born in sin and iniquity. Did our mothers conceive us? And every man, woman, boy, girl, born into the world bears within him the seed of sin. You know, even a little baby is sinful. When they want something to eat, they let you know it, don't they? They'll cry. You don't have to teach them to cry. They know how to cry. So it's already in them, isn't it? Sure it is. All right. Now, sin being a hereditary disease is what I was talking about. Now, sin is also not only a hereditary disease, but sin is a disabling disease. Sick man cannot carry loads. He cannot climb mountains. He cannot run and service or leap for joy. The occupations and the pleasure of other men are things from which he is shut out, in other words. Even so it is with sin. A sin-sick soul cannot serve God. He cannot pray to him. He cannot praise him. Sin lames a man. If a sinner would try to grasp the promises of God, he finds himself paralyzed. Sin weakens man's nature for all good. Now you understand what I'm saying? Sin is a polluting disease. Like a leper, Sin puts a man in a position where eventually nobody wants anything to do with him. Iniquity is a polluting thing. Everything we do and everything we think of grows polluted through the sinner's corruption. So it's a polluting disease. It is a contagious disease. The Bible says that one sinner destroyeth much good. A man, if he be evil, will make others evil. You ever noticed that? If you hang around somebody that says ugly words or does other things that they shouldn't be doing, if you hang around long enough, it'll liable to catch on to you. Before you even know it, you'll be doing the same thing a lot of times. So understand then, it's a contagious disease. A man, if he be evil, will make others evil. His children will imitate him and walk in his footsteps. Do you ever notice that you talk to a little kid, especially little boys, you talk to them about something like that, they say, I want to walk in my daddy's footsteps. You ever heard any of them say that? I have several times. But that might not be a good thing. But if that man is a Christian, he walks with the Lord, talks with the Lord, then maybe it is a good thought. Imitation, in other words. There's a first fierce, contagious act in every form of evil. It's like a fire among stubbles and hay and paper or whatever you want to say. Even like that, it's contagious. It spreads real rapidly. You go out here at the edge of those woods over there. Maybe it'd be harder now than it was a few weeks ago. They're wet now. It'd be harder to build a fire there, probably. Well, if you get it, wait till those trees and that grass around them gets dry. You can go out there and build a fire, and first thing you know, it's done destroyed that whole field like that. Same way it is with sin. Sin is a contagious disease. Sin is loathsome. Sin is painful. Sin is deep-seated. Sin is wholly incurable within men. Man cannot cure himself. Sin not only kills just now, but it will kill forever. We see the declaration of the physician. Not only do we see the definition of the problem we just talked about, but we see the declaration of the physician. It says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Wouldn't it be wonderful in this world today that if everybody was saved? I don't believe everybody is going to be saved. But the Bible says that few there be that go in, straight as the way. A lot of people are going to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind myself, do you? Now, having considered sin as a disease, we now confirm upon Jesus the character of a physician, and we must understand now that Jesus Christ never came into the world merely to explain what sin was or is. Moses had for his mission the exposition of sin. Moses did his job well. Christ didn't come to explain what sin is, but he came, thank God, to eradicate sin. Christ never came to apologize for sin. Christ never died in order that sin might appear less sinful or that God might hate it less. No, he didn't die because of that. He died because he loved you and I, and that was the only way for the Lord to be able to do that. He had us on his mind when he was on the cross. I say this so many times, and I believe this just as much as I believe I'm standing here right now. And not in anybody in this world but me, Christ would have died for me. That's how much he loves people. You see, he has said that if we had come unto him, in no wise cast it out. Because there's a touch of sin. He needs to save us. Thank God he saved me. He has a wide practice that has no bounds. His cure is speedy. There's life in a look at him. His cure is very sure and certain. He never fails, and the disease never returns when you get saved. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect when you get saved. No. You're going to live as close to you, Jesus as you can. And you're going to walk with him and talk with him. Let him lead and guide and direct you once you get saved. That doesn't mean you're perfect. There's only one perfect one. His name is Jesus. And if we go to heaven, it'll be through him. The blood of Jesus Christ, not spilled on Calvary. I've heard people say, and it's a song that says, spilled the blood. He didn't spill the blood. He gave his blood. If he spilled it, it might have been just one drop. And if that's the way God wanted it, one drop of blood would have saved you. And it can. But now, Christ did not come in order that we might continue in sin and escape the penalty of it, but he came to take the disease away. He's well qualified. He has a divine diploma, so to speak. So you see, that disease never returns. All right, let's look at the last thing. Y'all gonna get out early today. I reckon the demonstration of the provisions. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Here is the natural conclusion right here in what Jesus was saying. I do not go to the whole because they do not need me. I go to the sick because they do need me. You never get a doctor sick to see you unless you call for him, do you? There's not going to be a doctor that calls you, usually. Some might. I'm not saying all of them don't. Most of them don't. They don't call you. They wait for you to call them or come see them, right? All right. You'll never get a doctor to see you unless you call for him. Doctors don't go around asking people to let them practice on them. Jesus is the great physician. He's well qualified to handle any case, but he'll not come unless we admit that we're sick. You need one qualification of being saved. It's only one. Realize in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that you're a sinner. You need to be saved. Then you can be saved. You're not going to be saved until you realize it. And I feel like all of you have already realized that you already got saved. I feel like that. You're so faithful to come to the house of God. You know, I know sometimes we're sick. But people that come to the house of God love to come to the house of God most of the time. I'm thinking right now of this lady that told me and my wife. We were talking to her, and she looked at my wife and said, "I know I'm saved. I don't need to go to church." You ever heard that? I'm sure most of you have. That is wrong thought. I won't come to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and truth. And Christians should be like that. I'm also won't come to the house of God every time that I possibly can. And sometimes I feel like I don't feel like coming or going, but I go on anyway. And you know what happens? I get to feeling better after I get there. You know why? But God blesses me for my effort of getting to the house of God to worship Him in spirit and truth. And then not only worship Him in spirit and truth, but be able to fellowship one with another. It's good to fellowship one with another. Is it not? I don't talk a whole lot. Usually. But sometimes I get to talking a whole lot. And most of the time you want to where it's at? In the house of the Lord. Before the service starts, in the service, when the pastor gives a time of fellowship, and then after it's over with. My wife says I don't say much to her when we're together by ourselves. I don't know why. I thought I did, but now I know I don't, according to her. But anyway, don't you like coming to the house of God? Sure you do. It's a time that we can get on this altar, right here, or over here, and we can talk to the Lord. I say so many times, and I probably said this here too. When we're talking to the Lord, praying, that's us talking to Him. When we're reading and studying God's words, that's Him talking to us. It's good fellowship either way, isn't it, with the Lord. And I love to go to the altar so many times. Even if I don't feel like I'm having anything wrong with me, so to speak, I just want to go to the altar and give Him praise, honor, and glory by bowing to Him and talking to Him, having fellowship with Him. It's a joy and a privilege in America to be able to have that. But you know, if it keeps on, and it may not be long, we might have to get in a place to hide and do it. You see, the way things are happening now, it seems like that we need to understand what's happening in this day and time that we're living in. Every time you turn your television on, we're looking news about more than anything else. Maybe we shouldn't look at news. It keeps us kind of upset sometimes. But you can't cut it on without hearing about people just getting shot everywhere around about us. Or even in these hurricanes that we've had, a tornado that we had the other night. What is that? Used to never hear about that around here, did we? Not in much. We might have one come through once in a while. But this has been two in the last month, or 2 weeks, though. And it might be another in about 2 weeks. You never know. It's all up to him. He's trying to tell us something, and we better listen. Time is very near. Only one life will soon be passed. All was done for Christ will last. We're going to stand before him one day. Bible says every knee's going to bow, and every heart's going to confess that he's Jesus, he's Lord. So let's get ready. A little bit closer to him. Father, again we thank you for the privilege and honor to be here. Lord, I trust that we can say something, even though we have said something, even though it might be kind of here and there. Maybe some of it has touched our heart, and I know it has mine, but I pray for, not only for me, Lord, but that others have been touched, even by the Word of God. If I read that and not said anything else about it, it could have touched you, and it would. If you came expecting a blessing, then you got a blessing. Lord, I pray that they came today to worship you in peace and honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you have it right away in every heart and every life here today. As we sing in just a moment, I pray, Lord, that you'll just speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Not only speak to hearts, Lord, but be doers of the word. You said in James that we need to be doers of the word, and not only hearers. Lord, you got a word for every one of our hearts. And I trust that you spoke to us this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.